The pep talk is kind of it's a recurring theme. It's used a lot in various literature or dramas or things like that. It's often given before. There's a couple of different places where it occurs. A lot of times before a sporting event, but a lot of times too. And this is true in. Was true in life, as well as in fiction. A lot of times before a battle of some kind, I can think of there's in Henry V, the Shakespeare play. There's two of them. One is the "Once more into the breach, dear friends" speech that Henry gives at one point, and then there's the more famous one, the St. Crispin's Day speech, the Band of Brothers speech, where he. Before the Battle of Agincourt. There's a couple of that I can... There's one that I can think of, too, in the movie version of Gettysburg, where Pickett, before his ill-fated charge, tells his division that's going to make this charge across on the last day of the battle, that they're doing this for their wives, for their sweethearts, and for old Virginia. They're going to go... And then there's a real one that happened at Gettysburg too. This was on the second day, where the chaplain of one of the New York regiments, who was the chaplain for the Irish Brigade, so he was Catholic. He gave them general absolution, but then he added, provided that you don't turn your back on the enemy or abandon this flag. That's not in the right, trust me on that one. But there's also, in sporting events as well, you know, the couple of famous ones from real life, but also from movies. Get one more for the Gipper speech, you know, that Newt Rockne gave at halftime of that one game. And then there's the one from more recently from the 1980 where Herb Brooks, you know, fires up the team to go out and beat the Russians that night. And, you know, the idea is that the people are about, that something's about to happen. And it's going to, you know, the person wants to make sure that the people that they're hearing this speech know this is important, that they know that what happens is up to them. And they want them to be, kind of have an elevated awareness of what's going on. That's kind of what that motivational speech does. It focuses you on the goal. And this is what Moses is doing here in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is basically Moses' pep talk before the people take possession of the land. Moses himself, and like the coach, you know, Moses himself is not allowed, you know, the coach doesn't play the game. And Moses is not going to be with them. He wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. And so he wants them to be. So Deuteronomy is him summing up the teachings that have been given them, but also kind of trying to prepare them for that transition. And so one of the things that he says is that, he tells them that what will be wonderful for them, they are not going into this promised land just on their own resources. He's saying God is giving you this wonderful law. And the law, and actually its teachings, the word Torah really means teachings, precepts, regulations, yes, but there were also... But there's also the idea of the Torah is this is how God makes you his people. And this is how you will live as God's people. This will be a witness to the nations that you are God's people, that you are different from them. You will live a little bit different from them, and this will be a witness to them. And he says that... he says, "Hear, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees that I am teaching you, that you may live and enter in and take possession of the land." So they will, this is how to live, this is how they will take possession, and observance of the commands, observe them carefully. And what will it do for you? He says, well, first of all, it will enable you to take possession of the land. But then he also says that it will give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations who will hear these statutes and say, the great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people. So it will give witness to their wisdom, because the law, the statutes come from the wisdom of God. And he says they will say too that what nation, it will be a witness to how close their God is for them, because God is not just somebody that is, you know, separate from them, that they kind of have to, you know, the relationship between pagans and their gods was more like you would try to keep them happy so they wouldn't mess with you. But here is a, but Israel's God is so close to them that for what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law that which I am setting before you today. So it becomes then not just a way to live, but a witness to who they are. And, you know, we tend to sometimes think of we still have teachings of the church. You know, Jesus has came to and said that he did not overthrow the law. He came to fulfill the law. To fulfill the law, ultimately, it sums up: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And James talked today about, I should have kept this out here. This also makes phone calls, by the way. And James kind of sums it up by saying, religion that is pure and undefiled before the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Don't let me forget this, by the way. That's a good summation too, because ultimately what we're called to do is to love God with all our heart and love others the way God loves, by giving them himself. And everything that God gives us, everything that the church gives us, is a way to do that, is a way to help. Sometimes we separate our charity from our religion, but really, if we don't remember where our charity comes from, then our charity might not be what is required. Our charity might not be as, you know, that might come from a different place. And that, when that happens, it then becomes something for us as opposed to thinking of the other people. And, you know, I was thinking about this, sometimes our, the teachings and the things that we're expected to do as Christians and as Catholics might inconvenience us a little bit. Of course, you know, we always think of like days of obligation and things like that, or even Sunday obligation. And this is true also of the Mosaic law. I know that I have a friend from Facebook. I only know him from Facebook, but he posts a lot, so I know him pretty well. But I mean, sometimes he keeps kosher. He's a Jewish friend. He's Jewish, and is very serious about it. Loves the law. He has that Moses' attitude. It's a response for him. Living the statutes is how he lives out the covenant. God keeps his covenant, his part of the covenant, by being God, and he, as a Jewish person, he keeps his part. It's a response to God's love, to God's covenant, but it can be inconvenient. Keeping kosher, for example, in in a nation that's not kosher, can be a little bit of an inconvenience. But he doesn't mind because, you know, he's doing this for a greater thing than just his convenience. And sometimes our expectations too can be somewhat of an inconvenience. And I think that's purposeful because it reminds us that we are living in a higher level than just this world. We, like James, as James says, we want to be undefiled from the world, by the world, so we're going to have to live a little different from the world. But as I think about it, though, a lot of the inconveniences that we put up with from the world, like road construction, or even obligations of job, or even obligations of sports, you know, that this youth sports and things like that, which, as you all know, I love sports, I love youth, but, you know, we can get a little carried away, I think, sometimes. But, you know, those obligations, we don't mind doing them. And I think the ones that our faith gives us are less than that. So, you know, just keep in mind that God gives us, the church gives us teachings, gives us precepts to live. They are for us. They are for us to keep us undefiled by the world, to keep us close to God, to keep us so that we can truly love and witness to the world by our love to our neighbor, witness to how much God loves us. And like, as I say, we need to have both of those. We need to remember to love God and to love neighbor as well. So Moses' pep talk, Jesus is giving a little bit of a pep talk too. Hear me and understand. He does this a lot too. And so just be reminded in our life as we're thinking, you know, this is going to be a little inconvenient. Embrace that and say, thank you for reminding me that I am living in a different place from the world. And the reward for that is much greater than the inconvenience. So we are reminded by our way of life that what is important for us is, as Jesus sums up in the law, to love our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love as Jesus loved, by giving ourselves to God, giving ourselves to others.